All right. Now, Rhonda, that song that you, is that Wren Collective? Is that the name of the group? They're kind of that song you just talked about, the one before that. You're talking about you listening on the radio, you quoted some things from Wren Collective. That's a high-octane song, and I think they even jammed to a banjo in that song, if I remember. There's a lot of new worship songs that have banjos in the background. I like banjos. I mean, it's not like they're just plucking. I mean, they're jamming with a banjo. So, all right. So if anybody can play a banjo, we'd love to have you on there. But I thought it was interesting how you went from a 2014 to, I don't know when that other song was written. So we are multi-generational, aren't we? Even in the old English, it was 1940. She was speaking to me when she said that, guys. God is good. And Lonnie Hughes is my great-grandfather, for those of you that are wondering that I missed the detail about that. Supposed to be former veterans who I was named after. Today we're still in 1 James, and I don't say that that's a bad thing. I've really enjoyed. James is packed with just great, great stuff and great information, not just stuff, great word and great information, and God's got much to speak to us through this. And today we'll be reading James 1, verses 19 through 26. And if you would join me in that, please. We're going to begin, like I said, in verse 19. It says, "This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But the one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does." Here we see, as we read the text, and we see in James, specifically verses 20 and 21, it sees the ultimate purpose for God's word. In verse 20, we see him talk about to achieve the righteousness of God, and then in verse 21, it talks about the word that is able to save your soul. So here we see the goal of all of God's actions through Jesus Christ and through the inspiration of His Word is the saving of our souls through the righteousness of God. Now, this righteousness that we talk about is only obtainable through Jesus Christ. And in just a few weeks ago, on Wednesday nights, if you're not able to join us, but we're going through the Hebrew names of God to understand His character on who He is for the purposes of building the confidence in praying to Him and knowing Him. And we started that series out of 1 John 5, 14, and 15 to have confidence that when we know His will, that He knows, that we know that He hears us. And if He hears us, we know that He will do what we have asked. And the thing is that we realize when we're looking at that is we don't know His will and we don't know His confidence. So we've been looking at who He is. And Yahweh, the Lord, or Yahweh Tsidkenu, the Lord is our righteousness, is what we looked at a couple weeks ago. And what we saw in that is that God's perfect righteousness contrasts with our lack of righteousness. We have seen that this righteousness is only available through faith. If you'll join me in Romans, or up on the board, Romans 3, 21. And we're going to read through verse 25. Speaking of this goal of all God's actions through Jesus, it's for the saving our souls and the righteousness of God. But Romans, I'm in Corinthians, I don't know how I got there. But Romans 3, and we're going to look at verses 21 through 25. It says, "But now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets," and here it is, "even the righteousness of God through the faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation." That means He stood in our place in His blood through faith. This was to demonstrate His righteousness. Because of the forbearance of God, He passed over the sins previously committed. So here we see it's through faith. It's through Jesus Christ. Jesus Himself is the righteous one who can fulfill this goal. We see the relationship of Father, God the Father, and then God the Son as being one. As God the Father made this promise of being, "I am the Lord your righteousness," and then Jesus Christ fulfilling that in the New Testament. Before we get started today, we're talking about transformation. And transformation will mean nothing to you if you do not know Jesus Christ today as your Lord and Savior. He can change your world, your whole world. And Acts 2, Peter says, and he says to repent, and each of you to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. He says, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This here, this is the righteousness. This is where the seed is planted. This is where it begins. Our culture has watered down the believing part. We hear all the time, "Yeah, I believe in God, therefore I'm going to heaven." But there must be evidences of that belief. And that's what this text points to today. That's the truth that we're going to look at. And further, in the language of this text in James, as we're looking back at that, it strongly suggests that there is more to do after our salvation. It's not just a check the box that we get saved and we're done, and now it's time to go do whatever that we've got that, as we've heard it said before, our fire insurance. But here there's a working, this word. This repentance, it's doing a work inside of us. And that's what we're going to be looking at today. This work, and it's a constant, it's a lifelong journey of change. This word that brings salvation, it is also a word that works out what we're going to be looking at today. It's called transformation. And now what transformation is, it is the change that begins in us as we repent of our sins through faith, and we begin to believe in what Jesus Christ, not only what He has done and the change that He has done into us, but the change that He has called for us to do of being His disciples. And you know what's interesting, what I learned this week, and we call ourselves Christians. Do you realize that the word Christian is in Scripture only three times? Do you know disciple is used in the Bible 269 times? So are we more to be Christian, which really in our culture has been a term that can mean many different things, but disciple, that's what Jesus called us, followers of Him. This transformation, again, is a lifelong journey of becoming more like Christ every day as we live as His disciples. Well, our first point on your listing outline today is that transformation occurs when we hear the word. We just sung a song about that, but when we hear the word, this transformation, verse 19 tells us to be quick to hear. Quick to hear what? And it's the word. And we see in verse 21 and 25 that this hearing is the same as receiving. And what I'm saying in 19 and 25, I'm referring back to James, not to the passage we're in back in Romans. But this passage, it tells us to be quick to hear. And in humility, remember we looked at that, that means with thanksgiving, with submission, it says, receive the word implanted. The word that's implanted. Now, implanted speaks of like a seed being put in the ground. If you have the King James in front of you, you see that the word engraft is there, engrafted. And both of these terms are agricultural terms that lead to a harvest. You can graft things onto a tree to make a better fruit or a more productive tree. And again, we put a seed into the ground with expectation that that seed will germinate and it will sprout and it will grow and it will produce a harvest or whatever we have put it in the ground for. But implanted, this word is like a seed. Let's look at one of my favorite passages, Matthew 13. Matthew 13. This is the parable of the sower. And I have literally used, I would like one day to maybe write a book on this. I mean, the parable of the sower is rich. It is rich. But we see this today. We see this. Matthew 13. We're going to look at 1 through 9, which is Jesus sharing the actual parable. And then the disciples and Jesus, they have a little conversation. We're going to skip that. And then we're going to pick it up in verse 16 and read through verse 23, which is Jesus explaining the parable to the disciples. In chapter 13, verse 1, it says, "That day Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea, and large crowds gathered to him. So he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd was standing on the beach. And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, 'Behold, the sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up. Others fell on the rocky places where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And others fell on the good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear." Then they have a conversation, and we're going to pick up in verse 16. And Jesus is still speaking, and he says, "But blessed are your eyes, because they see, and your ears, because they hear. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see, and did not see it, and to hear what you hear, and did not hear it." And then he begins to explain the parable here. "Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone," and here it is, "hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom the seed was sown beside the road." Verse 20, "The one on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who," here it is again, "hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. And the one on whom the seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man," and we see it again, "who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And the one on whom the seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man, and for the final time, who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Here we see this word, it is the seed. And I read this week as I was studying Stetzer. He said, in considering the parable of the sower, he says, the seed is the word. That is clear. We just saw that. But the word starts everything. This is what God uses to produce and exponentially is expanding the realm of his rule and influence some 100, some 60, and some 30 times of what is sown. If there is no word, there is no kingdom. If there is no word, there is no salvation. If there is no word, there is no new beginning in each one of us. And if there is no word, there is no transformation. It's about the word. It is the word. No, we must be careful not to become merely familiar with the word. But we must drink. We must be eat it. We must partake in it as if it our very lives depend upon it. It is everything. It changes our whole perspective and our expectations of life. It is the Word. It's God's Spirit. When we get into the Word and we are blessed, as Jesus spoke back in verse 16 here, where our eyes are open and our ears are open to where we can hear, it is God's Spirit will produce an explosion of kingdom growth within us. And then as it is explodes within us, then it goes from out of us. And that is evangelism. And then this Word not only changes us, but it changes those around us. That's what a seed can do. That's what God's Word can do. That's why we need to be quick to hear. Because this Word that's deeply implanted, it can change a man. It can change a woman. It can change a family. It can change a life. And it can change a nation. This Word. Again, like I said, there's no Word, there's no kingdom. Basically, the church is formed by the Word. The church, as we know, is the bride. We are a bride. Us. We are. We are a living. We are an active. We are a breathing body that serves Christ in humility, in submission, in thanksgiving, in worship, and in fellowship. And this, we as a bride, we didn't just come into existence. We don't gather here for any other reason but because of this seed that was planted, because of this Word that spoke life, because of this gospel, because of this is why the church was born, and this is why your life has been changed, and your life can be changed. It is because of this Word and through this Word that we as Christians are, we as disciples, are transformed. It's our foundation. And it is the practice of our reality. I ask you today, what might this implanted Word begin in your life today? This Word, this, and just thinking about this, we go back, looking at this parable of the sower. We see that we are blessed if we come in and we proclaim to be disciples of Christ. Then we are also called to be disciple makers. And here we see that the Word, out of four people, out of four soils, and the soils are representative of people, three of them were either choked or taken away. And isn't that disciple, as we are commissioned to be disciples, part of discipleship is walking along with people. And if we are followers of Christ, then that Word is a part of us. And that Word should be proclaimed by us, that we come and we walk with Christ. And if we follow Christ, and then we are transformed by Christ, and that Word is going to be a part of every relationship that we have, whether it's a work relationship, a neighbor relationship, or a family relationship. The Word transforms. Forms us. Discipleship, what a disciple maker does, is walks with these people. As we saw here in this first part, it says here, the person who does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away. Well, what a disciple does is they walk with them and they explain it. We also saw the one who received it with joy, but affliction and persecution came, and because of that, it dried up. What a disciple does is it walks among those who have been, the seed has just been freshly planted. And when they go into this affliction and this persecution, they walk with them. And they help them through their difficult time. And then we see the person that is choked. This is a person that has received it. And it has sprouted and has been choked. And with those people, we walk in accountability with them. And we help them through their situation. I ask again, what might this implanted Word start growing in you today? That's transformation. What might this seed begin in those who are in your neighborhoods, who are in your workplace, who are in your family? Again, we are commissioned to be disciples. Again, that's followers of Christ. And that And that is just, it's founded and fertilized, and it is expounded upon by the Word. You can't make it grow. You can't make it happen. And you can't even make it be received. But through your life, whatever you do, whatever stage of life that you are in today, we have been commissioned, again, to proclaim it in every part of our life. Again, we want to share it here in the meeting house together when we come and we assemble together in this place. I tell you, it needs to be proclaimed in the streets. It needs to be proclaimed to our children. It needs to be proclaimed to our seniors. It needs to be proclaimed everywhere because these are seeds. We are responsible for the spreading, for the casting, for the putting the seeds out there, and they will germinate. They will transform, and they will be fruitful. Now notice this back in James. In the midst of all this, we're told to receive and hear in the midst of all this stuff. Look at all this stuff that we're talking about here, or that James put here. In the midst of anger, he's talking about get rid of this. In the midst of anger, in the midst of filthiness, we see in 21 and in verse, and then also in 21 it says wickedness. And then even at the end of the chapter, verse 27, which we didn't go to today. We're looking at that next week. But it says to keep oneself unstained. And so next what we see here is that transformation occurs when we are purged by the Word. That's your second point on your listening outline today, is that transformation occurs when we are purged by the Word. Now this junk that we're talking about, this sinfulness, these weeds that we just saw back in the parable of the sower, these things that choke us and that keep us from being unfruitful. In verse 19 and 20, it speaks of an anger. And now this anger is not one of righteous, you know, indignation, but it is one that erupts when our egos are bruised, when our feelings are hurt. Now these emotions can be destructive in a church or anywhere, any kind of gathering of people, when they're left unchecked and unresolved according to God's instructions. And this verse here, they speak of selfishness. It says, I'm not happy. I'm not getting my way. The church, the family, mom, dad, husband, wife, whoever isn't meeting my needs. Further in verse 26, it talks about bridling our tongues. Now we're going to look more of that in chapter 3 in weeks to come. But in verse 21, we see it says, remove all that's wrong in our lives and to receive this word, because it is that word alone that leads to salvation. And this word continues to work in us, and this seed, again, it continues to grow in us. And again, that growth is the transformation that is expected in the Christian life. Here we see that the word is the agent. The word is that which purges us of our sins. And it purges us as our sin, purges us of our sin, so we can become doers of the word, and as we become doers of the word. But how do we, all this stuff, this wickedness, this anger, this stuff that would stain our life, this filthiness that is in the scriptures here, how do we put all this stuff aside? How do we deal with that? Well, church, first we've got to identify it. And sometimes that can be difficult. It can be like, Lord, I feel this way. My feelings are hurt, or I'm, whether it be here in this body or at home or whatever your situation is. We have to identify it. And what first thing we've got to do is just pray, Lord, why am I feeling this way? Lord, you know what I'm going through, and I feel this and I feel that. Lord, show me. And once it's identified, we have to confess it. And then when we confess it, then we repent of it. And then if need be, we flee from it. And then we replace it with the Word. It's the filling. Next we see, our third point is transformation occurs when we do the Word. When we do the Word. Let's read, just refresh where we are in verse 22 through 25. And we're in James 1, 22 through 25. says, but prove yourself doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, that's the word, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. Now, you may not be able to imagine what it means to look in a mirror and to walk away and come back and forget what you look like. Unfortunately, I'm about to share a story with you that I know what that's like. When I was young, I used to be blonde. I mean, blonde as that young man back there. I mean, I'm just talking about yellow. I mean, I was a blonde guy. And then around 11, 12, 13, my hair started to turn brown. I'm going blonde again. And it turned brown. And I remembered, I guess, struggling with that. My mom and her friend said, oh, we can fix that for you. And when they started wrapping my head in tinfoil, I should have ran. And I remember they did something to my hair where it looked like highlighter yellow. I mean, it made a highlighter look dim. I mean, it was just chartreuse, night glow stick, kind of, you know, it just turn off the lights and you see who I am. And I looked in the mirror, and I tell you, for 2 days, I would come back and see my reflection, and I would be shocked because it wouldn't stick, you know, that this actually happened to me. But we say, you know, that's silly, you know, looking in the mirror and forgetting who we are. But as here, it's talking about transformation. And as we are changed, we do things differently. As we are transformed and the word grows inside of us, we become more like Christ. And as we know what's God's word, it's the simple of just doing. And here it talks about when we become a new creation. That's what it's talking about. This man in the mirror. When we become a new creation, we become a follower of Christ. When we become his disciple, and we receive this word, and then we walk away and we don't do it, it's like we forgot who we are. It's like we forget who God has called us to be. We forget what Christ has done for us. It is this that we need to be doers of the word. We're a new creature, a new creation. And with that, there are new things to come. But we forget the word. We forget the word every week. And I know we forget. We have some that said, Lonnie, why don't we have Sunday night church? Well, tell me what we talked about Sunday morning, and maybe we'll do it. And that's okay, because I struggle too. I've shared that with you. This morning, Earl said he's doing something on the website, and he said, hey, what was the title of your sermon last week? It took me a minute, didn't it, Earl? I had to walk through some things. Well, I remember it was James 1, 8, 17. Actually, in your bulletin last week, it was 18 and 17, but it was backwards. But my fault. But we forget. But this word we need to grab, we need to go in prayer, we need to be going to seeking, and we need to find this word. What is Lord speaking to us? We need to pray for open eyes, we need to pray for open ears, that God would speak to us, and when he does, we need to hold on to that. Let's read, join me if you will, in 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3, we're going to look at verses 7 through 15. Again, 1 Corinthians 3. And the context of this, as you're turning there, is that that Paul is talking, and there's some jealousy that has rose up in this church where some, you know, were of Apollos, some were of Paul, and they were comparing themselves in the midst of that. And jealousy and strife had gone up. And Paul is saying, hey, it's not about that. And in verse 7, we pick up in this conversation. But it says, so then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters, and he was talking about I may plant, Apollos water, I think I had that backwards, but he was just saying we work together. I'm going to start over. But so then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything but God who causes the growth. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, but each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another is building on it. But each man must be careful how he builds on it. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will become evident. For the day will show, and what this day is talking about is the day, the Bema seat, the day of judgment and rewards. The day will show it because it will be revealed with fire, and the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work which he has built on it remains, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet so as through the fire. Here it's talking about, here Christ is the foundation. And that's what our salvation. Our salvation is the foundation of who we are. But then it talks about there is a building. As we go throughout as new creations, as new creatures, as changed people, as disciples of Christ, the things that we do are building on that foundation. And he points out here that these things are, if they're things of the Word, those are things that are eternal. Those are the things that are the gold, the silver, and the precious stones. But then it talked about the wood. It talked about the straw. Talked about things that would burn up. And he says, whatever you do, whatever you build in your life, you know, the foundation, you're going to be saved, but there will be rewards. And he says, and you will be tried by fire. What are you building on your life? Are you just being heard? What are you doing with the words that you hear? These are the things that are like the silver. These are the things that are like the gold. These things are the eternal things. So church, friends, what are we doing? Are we building with wood and straw, or are we building with gold, rubies, things that are everlasting? That's what a doer of the Word does. It's important. It's important to know God's Word, and we do very well with that. But it's even more important to do it. And the Bema seat will reveal what we have done with it. And finally, we see that transformation occurs when we are changed by the Word. When we are changed. Again, this transformation is a change that begins in us when we repent of our sins and then through faith believe in Jesus Christ, this transformation. And then, again, we're not done with it. It's the lifelong journey of becoming more like Christ every day as we live as His disciples. But this Word, this implanted seed, brings a change in many different ways. First, it brings a transformed mind. That means we believe like Jesus believed. Next, it brings a transformed character. That means that we live the way Jesus lived. And then it brings a transformed relationships as we love as Jesus loved. And then after that, it brings transformed habits as we discipline ourselves, as Jesus disciplined himself. And then it brings forth, it transforms service as we serve like Jesus served. And finally, it brings transformed influence as we lead the way Jesus led. It's about Jesus. It's about becoming more like Jesus each and every day. And what brings that change is the Word that we have available to us all. As Rhonda and as her team is coming, a transformed person can change the world. Can change the world. I don't know about you, I've shared from this pulpit before that is my heart's desire. In ministry, what do we want to do? I want to change the world. What does that look like? I don't know. That's up to God. I just want to be obedient and do what His Word and what His Holy Spirit leads. But I tell you, a transformed person can change the world. Through Jesus Christ, you can change the world. And again, together, as His church, as His bride, we can change the world together. And how we do that is one seed implanted every day. Let's pray. Father in heaven, transformation, a change to becoming more like Your Son, Jesus. Lord, I pray that You convict our hearts. I pray that You would open up our eyes and our ears to where we can see and we can hear Your Word. And I pray, Lord, the seed that has been planted in us, Lord, would grow and exponentially produce and multiply and reproduce for Your name's sake. Lord, if there's any in here or that we may know where they don't understand and the Word's been snatched away, pray that You press upon our heart to stand next to them and to explain it and walk with them. Lord, if there's any that are going through persecution and trial and because of that they neglect or their word, their seed just fades away, Lord, help us come alongside them and walk with them and encourage them. Lord, for those that are choked by Your Word, and Lord, I'm afraid that may describe a lot of people in Your church today. Lord, I pray that You would help us be rid of those anxieties, be rid of those worries, be rid of those things that cause Your Word to be choked. But help us be people. I pray, Lord, You would produce in the hearts of Perdido Bay Baptist, the people who assemble, produce in our hearts, Lord, good soil, so we may be fruitful for You. And Lord, help us today be different than we were yesterday. And tomorrow be a little different than we were today. May our life tomorrow look more like You and less like us. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We've talked about a lot of different things. Transformation. We've talked about struggles. We've talked about things. We've talked about salvation at the beginning of the sermon today. I'll be standing right over here if you would like to talk. And with that, Memorial Day. And y'all be blessed.
Let's leave today with the thought that the God who spoke the creation into